Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Never, ever been more disappointed to not have there be an NFL supplemental draft than this moment, this year. I didn't really think about missing it over the years. Like, just sort of, it didn't leave much of a void in my life. But now, all right, we got something here. We got a guy. And it's fantasy relevant. Every league has to figure out, what are they going to do about Brennan Sorsby? And then now they canceled it.
We'll see. The story has taken twists and turns before we even got to him applying for the supplemental draft. And maybe it's still, I mean, his lawyer's making a lot of noise. I mean, I don't know. It's the NFL. I mean, good luck to you if you're going to try to fight them and prove that they've done something. I think they can do pretty much whatever they want is how it feels. I mean, I'm sure that's not exactly right, but.
Now we can't play college football either.
Right, right.
He might have some claim.
Yeah, he might. So the story, while not as intriguing as where will he go and what, how do I handle him if I'm a fantasy manager or commissioner or whatever, maybe there will be still layers to this story unfolding.
Let's give Sal Capaccio a crack at it if he wants one. Sal with us on the West Shore Hotline. What were your thoughts on this situation, Sal, if you have them?
I am kind of glad that he won't be playing in the NFL this year for the purpose of what he did, betting on, gambling the way he did. I've held this position. I just think there should be more consequences. And the fact that he was going to be allowed kind of back to play college football in some respect was annoying and frustrating. For many, many years, it's just the rule of law, right? When the rule of sports law, you gamble on your games, especially, you don't play. I mean, the integrity of the game is what matters most. The integrity of the competitiveness of the game is what matters most. And we can quibble about what Pete Rose gambled on or didn't gamble on, or this case here or this case there. But at the heart of everything, you want to make sure that the integrity of the competitiveness of the sport is intact. And when you have people who play these sports, who officiate these sports, who coach these sports, who have demonstrated that they are basically possibly willing to compromise that integrity in some respect, then I think you lose everything you're supposed to be about, and you can't let that happen.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that hard. I don't know if people who love to make the point about how duplicitous it appears to be that all of these leagues are so heavily invested in gambling now and partnered, the official whatever of whatever. But if you're one of the participants, I think you should know enough to know, like, I can't do that if I want to continue to be a participant. Like, it's not that hard. The line is not that cloudy at all. It's definitive.
It's also common sense.
Right. So, right. I mean, I love all the outcry, like, oh, yeah, a show like ours discussing it, and then here comes an ad for a gamble. Yeah, well, that's, we sports fans enjoy gambling. It's enhanced the sporting landscape for, I think, a lot of people that can handle it and do it responsibly. If you're involved in the sport, don't do it. It's not hard.
Right. I agree. And I actually, I don't know. I think I've read today, I could be wrong, that, the NFL does have as its own discretion, like if they want to hold a supplemental draft. So maybe his lawyer saying this is a violation of the CBA. Like, I don't think it is, because they can do that, but I'm not sure, right? I mean, there's things that'll be sorted out by lawyers in due time. But I'm glad today that He is not going to be playing sports this year. And hey, I'm a forgiving person. I understand. I'm empathetic, and I do think people can change, and you can find your pathways back in some respect. So I'm not going to close the book on that eventually for this young man all the way down the road.
Right.
But I don't think that now is the right time for him to be playing football.
Yeah, I don't think it would have looked good for the league to say, yeah, sure, come on in after he got kicked out of college. I don't know.
I don't know how I would like it if he's on my team. Like if I'm people are like, oh, the Bills should put a flyer on him. He's a young guy and grooming for Josh Allen's backup. I'm like, dude, that kid becomes the story the minute he walks in your door. Like it's a distraction, a daily distraction, because everybody's going to be talking about it. You know what's going to happen no matter where he went, whether Jets, Browns, Bills, doesn't matter. The minute he throws an interception, you know what's going to happen. And I just don't know who would want that around their organization.
I'll tell you what. I was using the utmost responsibility last night trying to bet the White Sox. But it was one of those nights where, at my house, the wind was down. So DraftKings thought I was in Canada. And I could not make the bet. And then I was off to do something else. And when I got done, I put the White Sox game on. Back and forth, they win it. Like, sure, of course. I wasn't even rooting for him at that point. Would have been a nice little hit.
One of my favorite recurring plot lines of our show is that sometimes your house thinks your internet thinks you're in Canada.
Yeah. Sometimes it works, no problem. Other times it just spins and spins and spins. We're checking on your location. Please go to your settings. No, I refuse to go to my settings.
As the crow flies, Mike, like directly, how close are you to Canada? Like the shortest distance from your house physically to the border?
I mean, right across the river, so however wide the river is the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't look like it's more than a couple hundred yards to me.
Okay.
I could be
because I thought I was close.
You might be closer than me then.
You're closer than me. I'm like maybe five or six blocks and then the river, so yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like right there.
Maybe a quarter mile. I don't
know. Maybe a quarter mile?
Yeah.
Maybe a half mile, something like that. All right, Sal, well, how was the stadium tour and the whole ceremony today?
I mean, the stadium tour was incredible. The stadium is amazing. And yeah, the ceremony was good. They did a really fine job. And, you know, the ribbon cutting, and, you know, you've been at these kinds of things, and they've had them here at the stadium a few times for different things along the way, you know, the groundbreaking and the last beam that went
topping
up. And now,
off, right, yeah.
Yeah, and now today. But I mean, you know, for us in the media, for me to get a tour of that stadium, and, you know, there were a lot of Buffalo media there who are not Bills beat reporters. They're not people who cover the team on a regular basis. They're news people or some other, you know, entertainment, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, might be on TV and, you know, anchors. But there were people who asked me, hey, you know, how does this compare? Because I have been to all but three NFL stadiums. And I will tell you, the answer I gave them is the answer I'm going to tell everybody right now. I'm not saying this because I'm Sal in Buffalo on the radio, because it can sound like that sometimes. It is as nice or nicer than any stadium I've been in. It is brand new. There's no doubt. Like, it reminds me in different ways of different stadiums. Like, for example, when you walk around like the suites or the, you know, the hallways or whatever, the nicer areas of SoFi, you know, it's pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just, it's just like that. The difference is SoFi is a venue. It's an entertainment venue. It is not actually built to be a football stadium. That is part of what they do. They're actually going to have swimming in the Olympics at SoFi. They're putting pools there, right? Like, this though is a football stadium. So you get all that, and then you walk in and say, oh yeah, this is for football. The first time today that today was the first time that I've been there. I've been inside there maybe like four times. Today was the first one where I actually felt, when I was on the field, there was a football game coming up. It felt like a pregame, getting to the stadium early with the music and maybe a handful of people there doing some different things, getting ready. And you get a little bit of, you know, those juices flowing, like, oh, there's something happening here today. Like, today was the first time I felt that.
Yeah. For me, not being able to get out there today was a day where there's times when there's news conferences happening or just any news at all.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, like a Wednesday injury report. where I question how smart it is to follow the number of people that are on the beat that I do.
Right,
because it's very repetitive. You know, it's just like one after the other after the other. Like, here's, you know, maybe slightly different wording, but like the same message. Today was a day that I was extremely pleased that I've maintained following all of those people, because everyone was posting different pictures and different videos. And I feel like if I'd been there, I might not have seen as much of the stadium as I saw following, you know, a half a dozen or more of folks like yourself who cover the team. And I mean, I am, it's still not having set foot in there. It's hard to be blown away, but I'm pretty much blown away by what I've seen so far, Sal. There's lots of really cool touches, I think.
Yes.
One of which, Kathleen Fitzgerald, who's one of these reporters I'm referring to.
Catherine Fitzgerald.
Catherine, thank you. God, sorry. She posted some pictures of art displays.
Yep.
And I think said eventually there's going to be like a little QR code so you can on your phone find out who, and maybe even, you know, patronize this artist in some other way if you really like their work. And I just think, and I happen to know a couple of people who've been commissioned to do that work. I'm just so pleased that that's a piece of this to me. Like, I would have never thought a football stadium going up would feature that. And I mean, I know that's not top of mind for everyone, but I just think it's a really nice touch that they were thoughtful enough to include.
I'm glad you mentioned Catherine's tweet about that. By the way, she's at KFitz134 if people want to see the pictures, because
thank you.
I did not take a picture of all the different art. I took a picture that was really cool. There was actually a completely made of Legos stadium and fans, and it was really cool. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So I took a picture. And then all the artwork, and I'm like, man, I didn't really take a picture of a lot of the artwork they were talking about and all the different things. There's a great big portrait of Ralph Wilson in there. And I even tweeted out a picture of the Lego thing that I'm talking about. And I said, hey, there's so much artwork in there. And then when Catherine did, I'm like, I'm so glad she did that, because it deserves its attention. And it's really paying homage to local artists and to Buffalo. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of stuff in there that I'm telling folks right now, if they're going to go to games, you might not learn for years and years, or maybe never. You have to kind of pay attention to or read about or really care about maybe all the little details that do have to kind of do with Buffalo in some way, shape, or form. They've incorporated. There was one little tiny piece that we're looking at, like, see how that's curved? That's because it's in the style of the grain elevators. I'm not kidding, right? That's like,
right.
Okay, yeah, that looks right. Like, oh, yeah, I can see that totally right there. There's another piece that's just like the Albright Knox Art Gallery. And then you have the art that's right in there. Super cool. So, you know, when they say they made it for Buffalo to represent Buffalo, I don't think you get the full scope of that unless you really care to understand what all of that means and see it.
So you guys were allowed to tweet pictures of anything you saw, unlike camp?
Yes and no. On the media tour, yes.
Okay.
But we were given a separate tour of just the media who cover the team regularly, of like press box, locker room, things like that. And that was just for us.
Okay.
So that we knew, and it really was for our operation. Like, they started us here. You're going to walk in here. Here's where the players are coming in. You can get shots of arrivals here. Then you take your credential. You go to this area, come up this elevator. Here's the press box. This is where everything's located in the press box. After the game, go down this elevator to get to the locker room. Here's the locker room. Here's the post-game press room, all that kind of stuff.
How, just to ask, how much of an adjustment is this for players, really? I mean, a lot of these guys have been on other teams anyway. They haven't spent their entire football lives at the old place. But I don't know. I mean, are there areas where something meaningful will be different in terms of preparation or just, I don't know, the field itself? I mean, it's grass field, for one thing. That's a change.
Grass field with turf sidelines, except for, and that's not uncommon in the NFL. Now, there's a few stadiums like that. I think Cleveland, Pittsburgh, some of the Northeast fields with grass. I think Kansas City might do that now, too. But except for the one little patch of grass on the sidelines, which is for the kicker and punter to warm up to get ready, so they can be ready to go out on the field like that. There is, I would say this, Mike, to answer your question, is I don't think it's much of an adjustment, because they play at new stadiums all the time. Like, every week you're in a new stadium, basically. Today, several of us commented to each other I feel like I'm just at a road stadium, like for the first time. Like I'm visiting a road stadium that I've never been in, and I have to learn about it. Because when you get to those road stadiums, sometimes that's it. You get in there, you learn about where you're going, kind of the DNA of the place, where this is, where that is. Well, that's what it felt like a little bit today. But we are in our own stadium. I think there are a couple things, though. I think the one of the biggest changes for this team, if they've been on the team, they do have a really nice locker room. Although Bulldog, I know you've never been in there. I listened the other day. I do know they do have a really nice locker room at the older Highmark Stadium, which has been renovated over the years a few times. But the new one is just spacious and spectacular and super easy to navigate and see your teammates right there. More like a hockey locker room would be designed, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. But bigger because there's so many guys. And then like the seats they're sitting in with their outlets on the wall and to pull the seat up to put stuff in, like that's going to be really cool. But then there is, and I don't think we saw this today. I didn't see it personally, but I know it's there. There is like a, and I don't want to say how long it is without knowing for sure. I might be 30 yards, 20 yards, 40 yards. There's a field, like a turf field under near the locker room where players will be able to like warm up, or if they're injured in the game, they can go and they can be like, they can rehab and run and do high knees and work out. Like that's new. I've never seen anything like that. And they're going to have that ability to do that, like right there inside like the tunnel, you might call it, or near the locker room without like anybody seeing them in just being kind of a private area. All of the different amenities they need for training during a game, and all the things you can think of with, working out or tubs and stuff like that, I'm sure are also a part of it right there on site. And then, when they walk out, so the team will walk out of a tunnel in the corner of the end zone for the game. They'll go out there, they'll warm up, they'll go back in. When they go in at halftime for the game, it's halftime, they're going to go in under their bench, okay, right behind their bench, there's that locker room. And you guys know there's field club now, and people can buy seats, and the field club gets you there. So they'll go in that way. When they come back out at halftime, it's very much like Dallas when you see it. They will walk past fans who have field club access who can just go down there. And I think that's just like a waist-high glass. It's not even like a big barrier there where you could literally – these guys might be able to give you high fives essentially.
I think I can guess, but I'm not sure. What are the three stadiums – you haven't seen? Vegas, San Francisco, Arizona?
Correct, because of COVID, yes.
Right. The Bills were in Vegas, and they were in Arizona. Right. They played San Francisco in Arizona anyway. Right. So when, yeah. They haven't been to San Francisco in a long time, the Bills.
That was the last time they were there was the year before I became the sideline reporter. So, that's why I didn't go to Arizona that year either. And then, so that would be, 2013? And then Vegas during COVID, they would have went there. And of course, Arizona as well. And like you said, San Francisco, I mean, all three were essentially on the list.
Yep.
And then, there was a Super Bowl in Vegas, a Super Bowl in San Fran, right? I think that all that's happened since,
look at it, right.
Yeah. It never really happened there. But they will go to Vegas this year. So I'll be in Vegas for the first time. And I think that like Vegas was one of these stadiums. Like I know that people in the Bills front office and Terry Pegula and his team, I know they went to a lot of different stadiums around the league, and like I think Vegas was also one of them that like kind of stood out to be like, oh yeah, they've done a lot of cool things here that we can take little bits and pieces from.
And I heard Terry Pegula make mention of having been to Tottenham well, which a lot of people have connected, and I don't think the Bills have ever really hidden from that the design it was heavily influenced. On the locker room, I did see a clip of our old friend Frank Cravatta, who's from the Bills end, is like the probably the guy that's maybe most responsible for a lot of these little design touches, along with the architects and all the the people that aren't directly employed by the Bills. But I saw Frank narrating a piece in the locker room demonstrating, first of all, you mentioned like the, each locker is going to have, the outlets, and like, it's basically a power strip that's hidden that like popped up, from the shelf in the locker, which is pretty cool. But the reason I'm even bringing this up is that he mentioned how the lighting is designed to, depending on what they're wearing, it will change like the mood in the room. The lighting in the room will complement. If they're wearing all white, there's more white light. If they're wearing red or blue, that the shades of the way the room is lit will represent what they're wearing day.
I want that.
Yeah, we saw that today. Right. And I couldn't take a picture, obviously. Like I said, I tweeted out. But yes, that was exactly it. And I remember that. So we asked staff there about it. And that was exactly what was said to us. So it was red and blue on top of the ceiling.
Yeah.
But like if the Bills are wearing all white that day, they can make it just look all white. And I think it's going to match exactly what you said, Bulldog, which is their, and they can do all that. And they have the ability to change that lighting. They have the ability to change the lighting down at the, down inside the field club where you see that big bar, and like they can change all that lighting down there to represent. One of the cooler things, I've never seen this anywhere, is, and I'm very interested how this is going to, I'm sure it'll be fine, but so if you have field club access, that's, I think, sections 109, 110, 111, maybe. You can go down into the field club, which is right behind and underneath like the bench area there where the players walk in. But that's also where the post-game press conference is going to be for Joe Brady and Josh Allen, and fans will be able to literally see into the glass while that is happening.
Wow. The Bills' last game in San Francisco, Chan Gailey was their coach. Mm. They've not been there since. Kaepernick.
And that's still Candlestick. Is that
that's right? Candlestick.
Yeah,
right. It's not the new place.
Alex Smith started that 45-3. Remember that game? San Francisco won 45.
Oh yeah, they like ran for 300 and threw for 300 or something like that. It was it was a really really big number. Before I forget, there was one thing I did want to bring up, because especially with Bulldog, with music and concerts and this is a place where we're all going to go, and I know that probably appeal to you pretty well. I would say the acoustics were incredible today. So something I learned, I didn't know, but we were in there and they're playing the music and it was, you could hear it. It wasn't super loud, but it was nice and clear. And then Frank Corvada said to me, he's like, yeah, he goes, when we really crank it up, he said, we did that. And all of our watches were going off saying like, hey, loud music, right. Exactly. So we get over to like where the charge bar is over in the end zone. And they did, like they turned it up. And we had, I have a video of this at my Twitter at Sal Sports. And I said, you could listen to this. they cranked up AC/DC Hell's Bells. And it sounded so good. I mean, like so loud and so crystal clear. Like when you go to these stadiums and these venues, as you guys know, like you get that echo, right? Especially because there's that overhang now and all that. There was nothing like that. And what I learned was, and Frank told me this, so right underneath like the 200 level overhang there, like near the charge bar and all that, around the stadium, I think there's like 700 like little speakers that actually are designed to time up the sound hitting you where you're sitting the way it should, instead of having the echo.
Sports.
I'm suddenly thinking of like 19-year-old me pulling up to my friend's house going, get in my car, you gotta hear this new Sanyo 200 watt stereo I just got.
Yes.
Like what, doing that with a stadium has gotta be a pretty boss move. It's gotta feel pretty good.
I said, how do you find people that even do these things? And he said, listen, we really sought out the best audio engineers in the world to do these kinds of things. And that's what we were after. And when it came to the video board and the sound, and it shows. I'm just telling you, it doesn't do justice. Videos and pictures that I post, it's really pretty damn cool.
One other thing I observed from just looking at these photos and the videos that so many of you and your peers posted this morning, Sal, when they initially had put the seats in with the red and white and the blue and the sort of swirling, and the rest of the stadium wasn't, like all the finishing touches weren't there, I wasn't sure how that was going to land on me. But seeing them now with all the all the finishing touches there, like logos and the colors on the walls around the field and upper, I think it really looks great. The choice they made to seemingly somewhat randomly just have the seats colored the way they are, I'm sure it wasn't entirely random. It just kind of looks that way. I think it totally works.
I agree. It's kind of different and a little weird when you think about it, and then you see it being put together, and then you're there and you're like, oh yeah, it doesn't spell out anything or anything like that, right? It's just there. Like, why is it like that? I don't know. I mean, you're right. Maybe some areas are certain colors for certain reasons, but a lot of it is actually quite random. And then where the in the north end zone, where that charge bar is, I don't know about the south end zone. I wasn't there for, I didn't go over to that spot, but in the north end zone, like I took a picture. I mean, some of the seats where people are going to be sitting are the most cushiony. Like, imagine like being in a golf cart and saying, this is the best seat I've ever sat in a golf cart, right? Like, it feels like that. Right. Really cool. And then real quick, I got to tell you. So I remember this is years and years ago after the Pegulas bought the team, Kim and I had conversations about eventually what a new stadium would look like. And this is probably 2017, 2018, somewhere in there. And she said to me once, she said, you know, she goes, I don't understand, and I would really like in the new stadium for this to be different. Why, if you're maybe a sweet holder and you're like at the 10-yard line and one of your friends is a sweet holder on the same side, but in the other 10-yard line, why you got to go outside and go, you can't meet them. You can't go see them, right? They're all totally separate. And she said, in the new stadium, like to build an area where everybody could just kind of gather. And guys, like it came to fruition. And I get emotional thinking about it because Kim told me that. And I relayed that story today to Frankie. He's like, you're right. You're right. And Todd Starowitz, I told him, and he said, you're right. And it's because that was Kim's vision. And they have this large, really awesome atrium with TVs and lounge chairs. And you can have a corporate event there. You can have a fantasy football draft there. You can have a Christmas party. But it's cool because no matter where your suite is, you can get together with people to enjoy the day, the game, a blowout, whatever.
Sounds like a lot. Thank you, Sal, for this, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, excellent. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
It's all very exciting. My first game, I sat on a metal bench in the pouring rain wearing a garbage bag, and somehow I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how many speakers they had, but man, it was good enough for me. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
From a timing perspective, probably the Stadium Series, you know, it's typically a February event. We want to get through the season and, you know, make sure that we can execute it at a high level. In a perfect world, we'd love to do it on the 20th anniversary of the original Winter Classic when it was here. But we're in deep discussions with the NHL. We feel really good about the prospect of hosting a game here.
Bills and Sabres COO Pete Guelli. So that'd be what? 28? January 1, 28 would be 20 years from that day? It's the 7-8 season.
Yeah. It was January 1st, 2008 was the game. Yeah.
All right. To update the situation from earlier, apple juice.
Yeah, I saw it. When we were getting going with Sal, I noticed it, and I decided not to sidetrack us. Getting into Sal, so, you know, but you, not that I'm complaining that you brought it up now. I definitely wanted to mention it. You went with the apple juice.
I laughed when you made the apple juice crack.
You're not 7.
I'm not 7 years old.
Yeah.
But then I got out there, and I'm like, that's not really fair. Apple juice is fine, even if you're an adult, I think. I want to stick up for apple juice. So I bought some. How do you like that?
It to me is the tomato ketchup of drinks. It's the tomato ketchup on a hot dog of drinks, I guess. Because I say the same thing pretty disparagingly about ketchup on hot dogs. Like, what are you doing here? What are you, 9? You know, of course.
It's not perfectly fine to like apple juice if you're a grown-up.
I'm just going to stick with no. It's not. It's not perfectly fine. No. There's.
What about cider?
Cider's better, but.
Still
not.
The problem is the apples?
Still not great. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will drink. Mostly, I'll grab. It's not uncommon for there to be a jug of cider in the fridge. And that is something I will
at
home. Okay. I will take I wouldn't do this at work.
I would run right out there right now if there were one here.
I will take a swig out of the jug from the fridge. Like you look in the fridge, put a
jug
back.
Swig.
Right, jug swig. Apple juice, I would never do that with. I would never, I just wouldn't do it. I don't know.
What's top juice?
Top juice?
Yeah.
Well.
Orange juice?
I think orange juice is the top ranking juice. My preference is an orange pineapple mix myself. I like that.
What are you, Tom Sitch? Now you're mixing top juice?
Yeah.
How about some banana cranberry pineapple juice or something? Raspberry?
I don't
have those.
I'm not against a little banana in there too. That works.
You unwrap it. First, and then you.
But orange,
blend it.
Orange pineapple is my.
You should remember to unwrap it.
Like if I decide we need juice, like if I just, you know, on a Sunday get up and decide I'm going to make brunch, which, you know, happens from time to time.
Make a juice.
And I run to Dash's, I'm going to grab a half gallon of orange pineapple. That will be my choice.
I love that choice. When I was a kid playing tennis at the old Buffalo Tennis Center across from where Channel 4 is.
All right. Yep.
On Elmwood.
Remember it.
I would have a lesson on a Saturday morning. I would have lessons. And then there was a bar between the front of the place and the tennis courts. I can still kind of smell that place, even though it's so long ago. I mean, in a good way. it was a good, you know, the tennis smell, like the ball, the new balls, and there's a tennis smell that I think I would be nostalgic about.
Yeah, yeah.
But after my lesson, my father would treat me to a juice at the bar. Orange pineapple was it.
All right.
That's the one. That was the one. We might agree on this.
Stunning. Let me change my mind.
If that were out there, I missed an opportunity. I went with the apple, though. It just felt like it needed to be defended.
All right. Well, knock yourself out.
NHL expansion?
Sure.
Here we go. Here it is again.
Sure.
Another thing. Well, easy for me to say. If I'm in Houston, maybe I would not say this. Or Austin, Texas, which might also get a team, apparently. Another thing nobody wanted from sports that we're going to get. More NHL teams.
In non-traditional hockey markets at that, too.
Why not? Put it anywhere you want.
Forget about another team in Toronto or Quebec City. Let's see how Willie Nelson likes having a hockey team. Let's do that.
You got to admit, they're winning on that front.
Yeah,
the NHL. They
are. Yeah, those teams are flourishing. Players want to go there. You know, the tax laws, depending on which place we're talking about, are, you know, favorable.
Houston is huge.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense. It's just we're just always going to have more sports teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's not
32 isn't enough.
And adding one is a move. Like I don't know.
Where do you put it?
33 teams now. I don't know. I like when there's an even number of teams.
Me too.
So sort of like the NFL with the 17 games versus 16 or even 18. Like just get me back to where I can have 500.
That's right.
So, you know, get me to 17 in each league, please, or each conference, if you're gonna do anything. But, you know, it seems like they're talking about just adding one. So it's not Austin and Houston. It appears to be Houston or Austin.
Okay.
Or Austin or Houston. Like one of them maybe getting a team. I mean,
whatever.
Go nuts, everybody. Yeah, I think
Quebec is never going to happen, right?
It seems like it would have already five expansions ago, I think. If it were going to happen.
You and I and a lot of hockey fans would be nostalgic for it and would probably get into it. If they were expanding in Quebec, I'd feel differently than I do about their expanding in Texas, if that's what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Because it'll take you back to the Nordiques. But here we're living at a time where the whole conversation with the NHL is like where players wanting to go play in only certain places. And if you're from Quebec, that's one thing. But the dollar and everything about... Mm-hmm. Reminds me of being in Rochester when the soccer team, the Rhinos, were like a phenomenon. Just huge crowds. They went and won the U.S. Open Cup, which is the tournament, the annual tournament with teams from all levels. And they went and beat maybe three MLS teams and won that. They were just a huge deal. And MLS was really young. And there was this drumbeat in Rochester like, well, what do we have to do? We've got huge crowds. We've got an excellent organization at the time. You know, you had sort of like the resume for a team. And we would have the Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, would once in a while be interviewed in the media and say all the right things about how impressed.
Mm-hmm.
It was never, ever going to happen. It's too small.
Right.
So I don't know if I have the timing right, but I remember there was one announcement where they were expanding to Philadelphia, I think it was. And like, okay, well, that's tough to measure up to.
You can understand Philadelphia winning the day versus Rochester, New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Seattle.
Right.
And Seattle was in their league for a minute. And then Seattle got a team. I almost ended up going out there for that job, but didn't happen. And yeah, like, it was fun to think about, to dream about, but it was never, ever going to happen. I mean, maybe it still could. I don't know how things may have changed there, but...
Yeah, I wonder, like...
We would say, Bulldog, that league, MLS, is anybody watching? We'd all condescend to it. And how do they expect to grow the game? With soccer, you have that other particular responsibility, apparently, to grow the game.
Right.
If you're in markets where nobody cares. Well, they put teams in big markets and got people to care about them,
and
apparently.
And now Messi plays in their league. I mean, how would you – I don't know. I'm not an expert on it. I doubt that you are. Like, was Rochester getting an MLS team less realistic than us getting a Major League Baseball team back in like 88, 89 when the ballpark first opened?
No, I don't think it was. Yes, it was less realistic. Yes, I want to say that. Buffalo in the 80s at least got on a list.
Yeah, they were.
Like, they were. Yeah, they was, presented.
Right.
And seemed to have a pretty good case for it, but maybe they suffered the same fate.
Eventually, yeah, right.
Just Denver and Miami.
Yeah. But yeah, that's right. Bob Rich did. They were maybe even, it was them, Colorado, Florida, and some, maybe one other place.
I think there were four, yeah.
And they were on the short list, and maybe Rochester never got that far with MLS.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know that they ever even got a meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, right. Maybe they did.
It was just maybe sort of a patronizing mention from the commissioner whenever it felt like it was needed.
Friends in my circles and like in media wanted to break the door down to get them to recognize us, and you know, okay, I see you, hi, but what's look over there,
right? It's a lot more. There's cranes over there, buildings.
Let's do that. 803-0550 for us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, will spend more time on the Sabres. Alex Tuch, another report that he is probably gone, and then there are these rumors that they might be negotiating for a couple of the league's top goaltenders. What do you think about that? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here, back after this on WGR.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.